Blog Talk Radio.
Back in just a moment.
Good morning. Good morning. Mr. Kenneth, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, finally. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, wow. It's been a great challenge. Well, I want to definitely thank Ms. Patricia Martin. You know, she's becoming a regular technician of radio. Did you know that?
Oh, no. I didn't.
And, you know, it's, oh, my goodness. So, well, you know what? We just roll right along. We know that people like the Oprah Winfreys of the world, to have gotten where they are today, I'm sure they've had way more technical difficulties than this. But I just want to definitely thank you. Now we're going to have you back a third time, Mr. Kenneth. But we so thank you and so appreciate. And I know the last time we had talked, there was a whole area that we really didn't get a chance to cover. And so that was one of the reasons that we definitely want to have you back today. So we wanted to talk more about the whole, I believe it was that financial planning aspect of for people that, you know, sometimes people just think of insurance. For those of you just tuning in, and we certainly hope you were able to come back and get back on. We know we had some challenges a little bit earlier, so we certainly appreciate those who are. And then we know that a lot of people will also listen via the archives, and so we know there are a lot of people that are going to get helped by what you have to say, Mr. Kenneth. So why don't you catch everyone up and just, you know, tell them a little bit about your background and, you know, how they can contact you, and then share that information about the whole financial planning aspect that people don't awfully think about when they think about a person like yourself as an insurance producer.
Okay, no problem. Like you said, my name is Kenneth Young. I reside in New Jersey. I'm a licensed life, health, property, and casualty insurance producer. And like we talked about last week, last week we went over the importance of you have to build a foundation for when you want to financially plan for yourself to ensure that if anything happens to you, you want protection first.
Yeah.
So if you know, whether it's disability or even life insurance, like if you're no longer able to provide for, with, in the case of disability, for yourself, if you get injured on your job, or workers' compensation can cover you, but it's not as much as if, you know, you have disability insurance, because you can still get 60-70% of your income from disability as well, or whether, you know, you pass away and you have loved ones that need to continue to be cared for. Life insurance is one of the tools that could be used to ensure that they have financial protection when you're no longer here. And there's also many different uses for life insurance. Some people use it for retirement planning, savings for their children's education. But, you know, as an insurance producer, I guess the word insurance, a lot of people hear that first and they box you in. It's just life insurance and that's it. So there's also retirement planning is what I want to kind of focus more on today. And there's many different, you know, tools that I wanted to talk about and ways to help people plan for their retirement as well. I can be contacted. Basically, what I do is try to, like, go over with a person their specific individual situation. Like, these are, every time we talk, it's always very general, like just general suggestions. But everyone's situation is unique and different. So what I always do is I meet with someone, you know, no cost. I sit down with them, go over their financial situation, and see if there's any areas we can improve on, like whether, you know, it's improving on their retirement planning, on their saving for their children's education, on reducing their expenses each year. You know, and if we find a way to improve, and it's just, even if it's just a small amount, it's, and it improves upon what they're already doing, then, you know, it's good to implement a plan and to, you know, to do business, to put something in place to make that be able to happen. And I guess people, you can contact me. Again, my telephone number is 732-668-4153. We can see if there's any way I can help you. And, you know, like I said, if not, you know, then that's okay. That's great. Then I think that's great. Then I already see that you have everything in place that you need to, you know, prepare yourself for whatever financial aspects you're preparing for. So if you have, if we sit down and we find out, oh, okay, you know, you're doing everything great, that's fine, but it never hurts to go over what you're already doing just to double check and make sure that it is correct. And if not, if we do find something, even if it's small, you know, it is worth it because, and at the very least, even if you find something and you decide, okay, well, I'm not ready to work with, you know, a person or financial advisor or representative to improve my finances, you still would have learned, you know, specific to your situation, like not just, you know, on here today as general. If I sit down with you, you'll learn specific to your situation what you can do to improve on your finances. So my telephone number is 732-668-4153. And please, by all means, if you're interested, you know, and you think that you could be helped or you're more curious, give me a call anytime and reach out to me and I'll reach out back to you and we could set something up.
Kenneth, that's good, you know, and like you said, there's these different individuals can learn these different ways to plan for their retirement. And so since we have a lot of, you know, baby boomers right now, and especially just in the country altogether, and then I would imagine what has just taken place in other states like Missouri and and things that have happened in Ohio and Alabama and Tennessee and other cities in reference to even the previous storm, I think a lot of people will understand how important it is to have insurance and not wait till the last minute. So I think it's very timely that you're coming on to share all of this information, but I know you wanted to, you know, definitely share with people some of the tools and options for planning for the retirement. So I'm all ears. I'm heading toward that. Toward that era soon.
Yeah. Okay. So, like we talked about last week, I use the analogy of how planning for retirement is like when you plan for a road trip. You wouldn't just drive from here to California and just, you know, just be like, oh, you know, I'll just take a few roads here, a few roads there. Before you get there, there's certain things that you would do to make sure you would get to your destination safely. So, you know, you would make an exact plan, a roadmap. Well, I mean, now there's GPS, but in the past you might have used a roadmap and, you know, planned out how you're going to get there. There's no GPS for your retirement, so you can't use GPS. But by taking those precautions beforehand, you can reduce the risk of breakdown or getting off track. So that would be the same for your retirement. You can reduce the risk of your savings falling apart or, you know, you getting lost in what you want to do for your retirement. So one important question that everybody should ask themselves is how much of your pre-retirement income will you need to maintain the way you live now? So think about, right now you make a certain income. You want to think about how much of that could you live off of in the future if you weren't working and you didn't have income coming in. So after you ask yourself this, you make a checklist of all your sources of retirement income. So do you have pension benefits from a previous employer or from your current employer? Do you have Social Security benefits that you plan on getting in the future? Which, right, like we all know now, like they're going to be pushing the age back further and further because the benefits are running out. So, you know, right now people can maybe plan on getting them around 67. But who knows, in the future 10, 20 years from now, maybe 70 or 75, to where you might not be able to even depend on Social Security benefits anymore in the future? Do you have 401k plan that you're contributing to? Do you have, excuse me, do you have IRA assets that you're contributing to? You know, your personal savings and your investments. And, you know, will you maybe work part-time, or are you even maybe working part-time and you're forgetting about that money that contributes to your income now? So from there, you know, you want to realize how much income you can count on in the future. And then you want to subtract the living expenses that you plan on, that you'll have in the future. So your basic expenses, and then maybe even discretionary expenses. A lot of people want to, they might want to travel. They might want to, you know, buy certain things. You know, it's retirement. You want to enjoy that time. So, yeah, first thing about your basic expenses, like what you're going to need to live, you know, whether it's rent or your mortgage, maybe it'll be paid off by then, maybe it won't. You know, food, you know, electricity, and it, you know, cell phone, everything you have, basic expenses. Well, I guess that cell phone is discretionary because you don't necessarily need a cell phone, but you take into account basic and discretionary, and you subtract that from the retirement income level that you save, that you have right now. So let's say, for example, you use a number as an example. Let's say for right now you have, if you've been saving, you have, let's say, $300,000 saved up. How much each year are you going to plan on living off of? So you retire, you're not making any more income. You say, oh, okay, I live off of, let's say, $30,000 a year. So that $30,000, you know, hopefully it will last you 10 years because you have $300,000. So that will last you 3 years. But the only problem is that, you know, there's risk and hazards when it comes to just your retirement money and security. And there's three main risks I want to talk about. And what this one is very good for that example. It's inflation risk. So that $300,000 right now, 10 years or 20 years from now, it's not going to have the same purchasing power. So, you know, with, you see it now with gas and the cost of food is going up almost like every week. So with the escalating cost of living, your purchasing power gets smaller and smaller. So you might be thinking, okay, yeah, I have that $300,000 now. This is what it'll buy me. This is what it'll cover. In the future, it's probably not going to cover the same expenses, because as inflation increases, the value of the money keeps decreasing. So you need your after-tax income to grow at a rate that's equal to or greater than inflation to keep up, and so your money can still purchase and what you need, cover what you need. And one of the ways, you know, you can make sure you cover for that is through diversification. So if you have a savings or investment, you want to put them in different asset classes that can help you reduce your risk. You know, you can never completely reduce your risk. I mean, well, you can go with very low, but if you do that, you can go with very low, you know, savings account with low interest. Your money's not going to keep up with inflation. So, and also, another risk is market downturn. So, like I said, if you have your investments and savings in the market downturns early in your retirement can, you know, hurt your savings. Which, you know, we saw in 2008, the market did really bad, and a lot of people, luckily, I mean, a lot of people, they're still working, so they have a chance to recover, you know, their lost earnings or investments and savings. But people who might have been planning on a, you know, a certain number that they were going to get from their investments and their early in their retirement savings, it was reduced a lot. So they're early in their retirement. Now they see their savings are reduced. So now they're worried, like, oh, okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to return to work, you know, get some kind of aid from the government? You know, unfortunately, all investments, they do have some risk. But like I said, you know, you want to make sure you basically diversify your assets. So you want to have some in large cap stocks, you know, maybe some of your assets in bonds and some in like money markets. So you're pretty much in all three asset classifications, like very safe, you know, something in the middle, and then something that takes a little bit of risk, because you want to take some risk to try to keep up with inflation. So once you review, and also too, another way, after you diversify, you know, your portfolio, you can review it, can continue to review it to make sure, you know, it's getting you the returns you're looking for, and you're not putting yourself at too much risk. And so we have inflation risk, market risk, and then there's longevity risk. So over the past century, the life expectancy has increased by over about 50%. So it's very possible that you can spend as many years in retirement as you did working. So again, basically, I'm just saying all this so people can see all the risk and the importance of planning for their retirement. And now I want to go over a few tools that, you know, people can use to plan for retirement income. You know, most people, you have car insurance, you have home insurance, you have health insurance. So it will make sense to insure your retirement income and ensure that you're going to have money for yourself, a source of income once you retire. Since, like I talked about too, you know, it's never an exact science, retirement planning or even just financial planning. So the method each person might use when they're getting ready for retirement, it's unique to that person. There are, you know, a variety of retirement planning options available. You know, there's annuities, there's qualified plans like 401k plans, there's non-qualified plans like payroll deductions, you know, Roth IRAs. And like I said, before I go over some of these plans, I'll talk a little bit about the history, you know, the history of just retirement planning. So before around 1970, there wasn't much retirement planning going on. You know, some companies offered company-sponsored plans, but, you know, at the same time, some didn't. So when you see nowadays, if you get a full-time job, you know, it's almost expected that you're going to have some type of retirement planning or company-sponsored planning available to you. And the government, you know, they actually encourage this because they realize the importance of people retiring, planning for their retirement. Because, you know, Social Security is running out, and they don't want to continue to take care of everyone's retirement. You know, so they give employers an incentive to establish and to maintain some of these retirement plans. So one of the ways people ensure themselves that they'll have retirement income is through annuities. And what an annuity is, it's an agreement contract between the contract owner and the insurance company. Now, a contract owner is the person who owns the annuity. So usually, you know, the contract owner and the annuitant are the same person. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes, you know, someone might do it for their wife, or, you know, their husband, or maybe a child might want to do it for a child might want to do it for their parents. So, because basically the contract owner, they can make anyone they want the annuitant, or, you know, the person that's going to get the income. But usually, most of the time, people do it for themselves because why am I going to pay a certain amount of money to ensure someone else's retirement income? So most people do it for themselves. Now, most people, I'll talk about what annuity is actually. So basically, you pay a certain amount of money, and that ensures that you're going to get income for the rest of your life in a certain period, after a certain period. Like some annuities are immediate incomes. So, you know, you might be a little bit older, and you just pay, let's say, $100,000. And if it's an immediate annuity, as soon as the next payment schedule starts, they'll start sending you, like, let's say, monthly payments. Whether, I can't determine what it is, because they take, you know, different factors into account, like your age, your health. Then they might, you know, pay you maybe, let's say, $600 a month or $700 a month for the rest of your life. So they may end up paying you less. If you just do it like a straight annuity, they may end up paying you less than what you gave, or, you know, they might, but you would get that money back, your beneficiary, or they might pay you, usually is what happens, they pay more than you initially invested, so you might have paid, let's say, it doesn't have to be $50,000. They keep paying you those payments, you know, and even if it's more than the $50,000 you gave them, they continue to pay you until you pass away. So this is basically just guaranteed income, retirement income for the rest of your life. So like I said, most annuities are non-qualified. And what that means is that the contract owner, would use money that's after-tax money. So when they put the money in, they're paying it after the money they've already paid taxes on. But when the money's growing in the plan, like, you might get a deferred annuity, which is what most people do. So they'll wait till their retirement to start taking payments from the annuity. So after they, while they're waiting for the money to accumulate before they retire, the money is going to grow. That's what usually happens. The company, they take it, they invest it, and, you know, that's how they pay you the income for the rest of your life. Because they couldn't use your $50,000, they wouldn't turn around and just give that back to you. What they do is they go ahead and invest it whatever they want. They get, you know, some growth on the money, and your account grows. So they take a percentage of the interest or a small amount, whatever, use the money to invest it and get more money. And then they pay you with the money that's grown too. So once you pay the $50,000, you know, it's after-tax money. But as it continues to grow, you know, is the interest is tax deferred. So the owner, they don't have to pay any taxes on the increase in the new, like, you know, the investment until they start taking money out. Now, the only thing is, you want to use an annuity if, you know, you don't need access to that money right away if you're under 59 and a half. Because if you take money out of annuity before you're 59 and a half, you're going to have to pay a tax penalty. And also, you're going to have to pay taxes on all the money that you're getting from it. So it's really harmful if you need to take the money out. So really, an annuity is basically just, you know, you could take this money and just put it aside until the future when you're going to get ready for retirement. Now, like I said before, I talked a little bit about immediate annuity. And there's two types, two big types, immediate annuities and deferred annuities. The difference is basically just the time when the annuity payments are scheduled to begin. So am I being clear? Like, I don't know if I'm...
No, it's great. It's very clear. Sure, all the various types of annuities, this is something I think is a very valuable information that a lot of people don't know about annuities, and you're explaining how they can be used as an investment tool, but also as a financial planning tool, investment and financial planning. You've got to invest your money somewhere. You can't spend all of it at the mall or at the hair salon and the nail and the restaurant.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure I wasn't I wasn't going too fast or just like going over the topics like, you know, too quickly or anything.
I mean, you're doing well. We have about 10 minutes left to the show.
Okay.
But that's okay.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay.
You just got to get ready also for next week, and we'll have
you
come back home when we got the...
Okay.
Yeah, have a good 10 minutes. I just didn't want you to lose track of time since we got started so late today. But, no, it's just very clear, and now you are... I even posted on Facebook about the different type of risk you were talking about, inflation risk, market risk, and also longevity. And sometimes people don't think today, but they forget some people, because so many younger people are dying early, but there are a lot of older people who are living longer.
Right.
And people need to have some, you know, think about, well, what kind of income am I going to have later, especially if you don't have family members that are going to be able to take care of you. So anyway, go right ahead.
Okay. So, like I said, the two major types are, well, there's a few types. There's immediate, as far as payment schedule, there's immediate annuities and there's deferred annuities. So now, an immediate annuity, they pay the, like again, well, they call that the annuitant, the contract owner, the person who bought the annuity. They pay it shortly after the person buys the annuity. So if annuity contract, if they pay you monthly, then the payments to you when you buy the annuity will begin 1 month after the date of the purchase. So this is an immediate annuity. If it's going to be quarterly payments, they'll pay you once the next quarter starts. If it's semi-annual, they'll pay you, you know, either, you know, 6 months after you get the annuity, or if it's annual, you know, 1 year. Immediate annuities, you always pay the single payment. So that means you make just one lump sum payment, and then, boom, like I said, when the next payment schedule start, whether it's monthly, quarterly, semi-annually, or yearly, that's when they start paying you the monthly or the whatever, monthly, quarterly, or yearly income. So it's one lump sum payment. If it's an immediate, it'll be one lump sum payment, and then they start paying you immediately. Now, a deferred annuity, it doesn't start making payments right away. It's going to make payments sometime in the future. That's what they call deferred. The payments are deferred. The first payment after you purchase the annuity, it might not be for, you know, 10, 20 years after you buy the annuity. But it can be a single payment, but most people do periodic payment. So in a periodic payment annuity, the contract owner, they'll make payments over, you know, a certain amount of time, and then once they're finished paying the annuity, there still might be a waiting period. They don't want to use the money yet, so there's still that, you know, deferred annuity time, and then after that time passes, the company starts making payments. So another way annuities are split up, that's the payment schedule. Now, as far as the types of annuities, usually most, there's either fixed or variable annuities. So in a fixed annuity, the person who purchased the annuity, the contract owner, they'll make payments to the insurance company, you know, like either in a lump sum or over time. Then the companies will invest the money in the general account, and they'll guarantee like a minimum rate of return because it's a fixed annuity. So let's say the company might agree to provide you with $500, a fixed dollar payment, so like $500 a month, for example, for the rest of, you know, your life. Since the insurance company has to pay you, they have to pay you regardless of how, you know, the investments and the annuity performs. So the insurance company, they take all the risk in a fixed annuity. So you're basically secure in knowing that you receive the same amount of money regularly for the remainder of your life. Now, the only drawback with fixed annuities, I'll talk about it later too, but the only drawback is that it's a fixed payment, so it might not keep up with inflation. So, you know, money, like even that $500 a month example, it might seem okay now, but 20 or 30 years from now, it's not going to be the same value, which is what we talked about earlier, the inflation risk. So the other type is, when I said variable annuities, And what that variable annuities do is they're designed to provide someone purchasing an annuity, an investor, with more protection against inflation than the traditional or the fixed annuity. And the person has some control over how the payments are invested. Or at least there's an accumulation phase in variable annuities, which is when you're paying into the separate account. Or like basically they take some of the payment that you get for an annuity and it's put in mutual funds, or it's pretty much up to you. You might choose mutual funds though. And the only risk with that, with variable annuities, is that since they're putting in a mutual fund, that means that money is involved in the stock market. So, and there's a time when the stock market is doing bad, your performance, for if you're getting payouts from the annuity, or even if you're still paying into it, the like not as much money is going in if you're still paying for the, like paying the build up into the annuity. If you're getting payments from the annuity, then like you might not get as much payments because the market is doing bad. But if you're doing good, you know, you're going to do better. But what a lot of companies are doing now is they'll guarantee you a minimum percentage. So it's almost like the fixed annuity, they'll guarantee you a minimum percent. But if the market does, in a fixed annuity, it doesn't matter how the market does. That's what you're going to get. You don't get an increase like higher or lower. With the variable annuity, you have a chance to get higher. So a lot of companies now, they're taking out the risk altogether. They're letting people have a minimum rate that they're guaranteeing, like, say, for example, 5%. So even if the market goes up 20% in a variable annuity, you're going to get that 20% increase. But let's say, because the market fluctuates. 1 year might go up 20%, and then, you know, the next year it might drop 40. But they're letting people lock in the number at 20. So even if the market drops 40, you've locked in the gains you made last year with 20%, and they're guaranteed that they'll give you a 5% increase on the money that you have in annuity. So I think that's, like, a really good like I said, but you need to be sure that you can have that money to put aside. But I think that's one of a really good tool for the variable annuities now, because if the market does do well, you can benefit from those gains. And if it doesn't do well, then they're giving you a minimum value. So you still won't lose money. You're getting a minimum percentage that you'll receive. And I guess, you know, with the time running short, I'll end it there for this week. And, you know, there's still more tools, but we can talk about it more next week. I figure, you know, I don't want to talk over the time.
I love it. So we're going to have you, just may as well say, we'll just have you do a little series here. And thank you, Mr. Kenneth Young. And just to let you, hey, you know what? Just imagine one day whoever marries you, she'll be young forever. So. I always love that about the last name, Young.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, this has been great information, great to know that we can plan ahead, and we can plan. I tell you again, for a person that is looking at 60 in just a few short years and thinking about, okay, that lifestyle, you know, that day when we no longer have that full-time job where we have that income coming in, but we can do things to live as though we do. And so we know this is what a lot of other very smart people have done, and meaning that they're not academically smart necessarily, but they were smart enough to realize that they needed to put some things in place. So I am so blessed to have you come on and share this information. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. Thanks again.
Thank you for getting up so early in the morning, coming to us. We wish you much success in your business. We will definitely look forward to you coming back next week. For individuals who want to listen to the archive, you can listen to last Tuesday's show as well to also learn what Mr. Kenneth Young has had to share about financial planning and financial stability. income, how to invest our savings, how to invest our current income so that it can multiply. Today he's talked, given new tools about, last week he was just breaking down what protection is. What does it mean to be protected? What does it mean to protect your assets, your income, so that you can be covered in case of an emergency or in case of a tragedy or an emergency? And then today he's shared in depth more about some different tools that are used also to protect and also to help you maintain your lifestyle and to be covered. Again, one thing that can happen is longevity. As you live longer, you need money. So thank you so much. That's all we have time for. Again, we thank Ms. Pat. We thank all of those of you who are in the chat room. We know we had some difficulties. We would have had more people in the chat room, but we certainly appreciate those who were able to remain or come back. And we will try to get this resolved definitely before tomorrow. And, Mr. Kenneth, you have an awesome day.
All right. Thanks again. You too.
Thank you. All right, everyone. That's the end of the show for today. This has been Coach Lalisa, Mr. Kenneth Young, and also Ms. Patricia Martin, who helped us set up the page today. Again, we thank you, and we look forward to you being back here tomorrow.
Something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.